Hi, I'm Lena.
And I'm Aman.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
Yay.
Yay.
All right. So, Aman, in a few days, it's going to be Juneteenth. It's also Pride Month. So we were thinking, what would be a fun thing to talk about? Fun, geeky piece of content for us to talk about. And there is this comic book that I have heard about for years, but had never gotten around to reading. And it's called Bingo Love by T. Franklin.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, I had never heard of this until you told me about it.
Yeah, that's true.
So
I'm the best.
And I'm so glad you did.
Yeah. Yes. So anyway, so it's a really sweet, lovely book. It's about these two Black women who meet when they're in, were they in like middle school or high school when they first meet? They meet in the 60s.
Yeah, early high school, maybe eighth or ninth grade. It's not entirely clear from what I remember, but that's when they first meet. And then it's basically this love story that spans decades. And I thought it was a beautiful story, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing fantastical about it. There's nothing sci-fi-y about it. It's just a beautiful love story and very, very grounded in reality. But I liked it has a happy ending, you know, a lot of crap, you know, that both of these women go through to get their happy ending. But I do like how it is such a happy ending. It's sweet. It's sweet.
Yeah.
It's so sweet.
Not without its struggles, though. But yeah. So, I mean, it takes place in the 60s. These girls first see each other at a bingo hall or event.
At a bingo night. Yeah. Like a church bingo night.
Yeah. They're there with their grandmothers. And then they meet at school. They end up going to the same school and they become best friends for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
But then they realize they have feelings for each other. Their grandmas catch them and they are separated. Basically.
Yes.
And I think one of them moves
separated
away.
For 50 years.
Yeah. For 50
and that's
years.
That's the sad part about this story is that they go through, you know, their respective lives. They get married, have kids, grandkids, and then they reconnect again at another bingo night.
Yeah. It was so cute.
Hence the name of the book, Bingo Love.
Mm-hmm.
At first, when I saw the title, I was like, what does that mean, bingo love? Like, I was like, I kept thinking, you know, before I started reading the book and you'd already told me, hey, this is the book, this is what we're talking about next episode. I was like, bingo love, game of chance, like what exactly is going on? I kept thinking about it in like way too much, as I do sometimes, but it's just about bingo. It's literal, which is refreshing. It's nice when something is literal.
Yeah.
It's refreshing. I feel like in this day and age of like double meanings and things like that. I mean, I guess there is kind of a double meaning where it's like, you know, it is kind of a fluke that they ended up meeting for the first time at all at this bingo night.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mentioned Juneteenth and Pride Month, obviously. This makes sense for Pride Month, but also Juneteenth because this book was such a joyful, happy thing. And that's what Juneteenth is all about. But Aman, do you want to talk more about the history about Juneteenth?
Yeah. For people who may not be aware, all right. I mean, most people are aware about the Emancipation Proclamation, which Abraham Lincoln made back in 1862. It was September 22nd, 1862. However, if those of you who may realize that 1862 was the horse and buggy era, so to speak, it took a while for this news to actually, for the Emancipation Proclamation and what it meant and everything to reach every part of America. Yeah. And in
there
fact,
was no Twitter.
There was no Twitter to spread the news, but it took 3 years for the very last place in America, which was in Texas. I believe Galveston, Texas, I want to say. Let me just quickly.
I know.
Galveston, Texas.
Texas.
Yeah. That was the last place to reach this news. And it was on June 19th, 1865, that this news reached the last corner of the United States. And Black Americans found out that, hey, they were now free. And so that's why Juneteenth is celebrated. That is the day that news of the end of slavery reached everywhere in America. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I mean, it's all about freedom, you know, mm-hmm. it's all about the end of slavery and freedom. And the thing is that the reason we really like this book, not just in honor of Pride Month, but also in honor of Juneteenth, is because at the end of the day, this journey that these two women make in this story mm-hmm. is about their freedom to be who they are and to love who they want to love, you know, despite all of the obstacles. And I mean, I say obstacles very mildly, all the struggles and barriers that they faced over the decades to finally reach where they do, you know, that. So that's why.
Yeah.
That's why we're covering this book in today's episode.
Yeah. And Aman, what was your favorite part of the book?
You know, my favorite part, I don't know if there was a single favorite part, but the things that I liked about it is that I liked how the characters were drawn, you know, it really showed, like, it wasn't a fairy tale where it's like two pretty people meet and then they fall in love and look, pretty princess love, you know, the main character Elle is drawn as a slightly bigger Black woman. And, you know, I mean, it's a very real portrayal of real people, even though it is all animated, you know, I loved that. I love that the art is reflective of real people, you know, and it kind of shows how no matter who you are, no matter what you look like, we're all worthy of love, you know.
Yeah.
And that was something that really stuck with me throughout the series. The other thing that I really loved, actually, and I didn't love it until I hit the jackpot stories at the end of this novel.
Right. To clarify, Aman and I read Bingo Love Jackpot Edition, which was the story written by T. Franklin, and the art is by Jen St. Ong. Sorry, I'm so sorry for mispronouncing that. I know I'm mispronouncing it. But anyway, so that's the original story.
With names than you are.
That's true. That's the original story. And then this jackpot edition has like maybe 10 additional quick stories that other artists and other writers kind of, it's almost like fan fiction where they took a small slice of the original story and expanded upon it or something, for example. So yeah.
So the thing that at first I was like, what is happening was Elle's husband, you know, his reaction when they broke up, when they got divorced, when she first tells him, hey, I'm gay and I've been in love with this other woman for basically the entire time that we've been together, all the journeys that we've taken in terms of having kids and grandkids, I've actually been in love with somebody else. Mm-hmm. And then his completely insane reaction to that, you know?
Yeah.
It was so obvious that there was something else going on there. All right.
With him,
the fact that they didn't cover it, it made him feel like a very unnecessarily two-dimensional character. I was like, what the hell? You know? Yeah. There's something here. And then in the jackpot edition, they actually give his story.
Yeah, they give a backstory to him.
Yeah, about how he fell in love with somebody during Vietnam when he was deployed in Vietnam. And I love that, that build out, that, you know, these sorts of struggles and stories, there are many characters involved.
Yeah.
Nobody's story is purely theirs alone. You know, any story that we read, listen to, watch, you know, if there's a main character, we're only getting the story from one perspective. It doesn't mean that that is purely that story. So I loved how in the Jackpot edition, they go into the husband's backstory and what he went through and what he struggled with and the love that he had. And that is not a story that has a happy ending, actually.
Yeah.
You know? So I liked how it covered this full range of difficulties in these kinds of relationships.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually not sure if he didn't have a happy ending in the end, because like maybe he also reconnected with his long lost love. I don't know. It wasn't really clear at the end, because then they just didn't show him again.
Yeah. I mean, no, I mean, that other guy's wife was like, hey, I'm going to ruin your life. Take away the kids from you if you see this guy again. You know?
Yeah, but then that was like 30-40 years prior, so maybe things have changed. That's what I mean.
It was, but maybe it has, you know, but we didn't get that story.
Yeah.
We as the audience didn't get the happy ending there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I kind of love that about this whole book, where the main arc does have a happy ending, but it does show this full nuance that, you know, not all these stories end happily. Mm-hmm. Not everyone necessarily gets their happily ever after, or at least what we interpret should be their happily ever after. To be fair, you know, he still had a very full life with kids and grandkids. It was his dream to have a family, and, you know, good for him. He had a nice full one, you know, but he didn't get the happy ending of that particular love story in the same way that Elle and Marie did, which you read that name as Mary.
I don't know. But now I like Marie. I don't know.
And it's spelled M-A-R-I. I read it as Marie. Lena read it as Mary. And then Elle named her kid M-A-R-I-O-N.
A-N.
Which, A-N?
Yeah.
Really? A-N?
I'm pretty sure it was M-A-R-I-A-N.
Well, Lena then read that as Marion and thought it was Mary. And I read it as Marie Ann. And I don't know. It was weird. I'm really bad with names.
Yeah, it's Marion, M-A-R-I-A-N. So
Marion.
I don't know. Okay. That's how you pronounce it, Aman. That's how you actually pronounce it. But anyway.
Fine. Be that.
What I really liked about this story was I thought a good portion of this entire story was going to be spent on them trying to convince both Marie and Elle, whose name is Hazel, but Marie gives her the nickname Elle. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. You're so bad with names, Aman. Oh my God.
I'm so bad. I forgot her actual name is Hazel.
But I thought the majority of the story might have been spent on Marie and Hazel trying to convince their husbands and their kids that they've been in love and they want to be together. Like, I thought that was going to be a lot. There was going to be a lot more time spent on like that struggle. And I like that they, in the story, you know, they acknowledge that they spent months and months of going to like family therapy and all this stuff. Right. And like, they worked through it. But then the rest of the story was actually focused on this beautiful life then, that even though they were, I'm guessing, in their late 60s or something at that point, but, you know, Hazel and Marie were able to have this beautiful, you know, life to get together still, you know, like it wasn't, sure, that wasn't their prime or whatever, but love is love, and they got to celebrate their love. And
in a very full way. I mean, God, I wish I could take a 2-month honeymoon to,
I know, damn,
globetrotting the world with, well,
that's what happens when you're like, you know, they're like past they're not worried about jobs, career, you know, like they've achieved the things they want to achieve. And also, wait, I actually, with Hazel, so Marie ended up being some like cool hotshot lawyer, and Hazel was a homemaker.
And
it was something I think she took pride in, but at this point in their life, there was another jackpot story basically about this, which I really liked that story.
I liked it too.
Where it was talking about how, you know, after their honeymoon and all that, Marie was still working. And obviously at times she gets really busy with work. She's a lawyer and their kids are all grown up. They have kids of their own and Hazel isn't needed like she used to be needed by her family. Yeah. Yeah. And so then Marie encourages her to get her degree or something in fashion and all the stuff and like go back to school. And I was like, that's great. You know, like I love that in this specific graphic novel, in the jackpot stories, they acknowledge that it's not just happily ever after. Great. They found each other after 50 years and that's it. Like there's still like the struggles that you have with any kind of relationship. So,
And you know, I want to do a shout out to all of the homemakers out there, you know, like that is a career in and of itself. I would say, you know, being at home, raising a family, there was a lawsuit a few years ago where it was a wrongful death lawsuit, and maybe I can find it. We can put it in the show notes, but there was a wrongful death lawsuit where there was a car accident, this mom died and she was a homemaker and they were able to get a ruling. The family who lost the mother was able to get a ruling basically saying that this is the cost of the services that we have lost. This is the economic loss we have faced. And for the first time, a court of law put a dollar amount to what are the exact services that a homemaker provides. Cost of cleaning, cost of getting a laundry service, cost of daycare, and all of that stuff. And, you know, I mean, that was, for me, a really awesome case to read because our mom was a homemaker, you know? And for people who think that, oh, you know, they're just choosing to be a homemaker instead of having a career, I fully wholehearted disagree with that assessment. Being a homemaker is a job. People call it a job, but it's a fucking career. Yeah. All right. And in a sense, the way I interpreted Hazel and Marie's story in this specific case was that sense that a lot of people have when they retire, whether it's retiring as a homemaker or retiring from a job, what do I do now post career, post retirement? You know, just because you're retired doesn't mean you're dead. It doesn't mean that you don't want to keep doing something. Maybe it's something else, you know? So that's how I interpreted that story was Hazel's struggle of now that she has completed her career, what is she now going to do in retirement? Right. She's found the love of her life, you know? And I think that that says something to how we frame the lives of people who choose to be homemakers, you know, is I feel like we don't frame it the same way we frame retirement for people who have more quote unquote traditional careers, you know, at a company or at a law firm or whatever, you know, it's still the exact same kind of struggle. Like when our dad retired, you know, he definitely went through a period of like, oh boy, what do I do now? I'm retired, but I need to do something.
Yeah. You know? Like it took some soul searching.
It's the exact same struggle. It's the exact same struggle, whether you're a homemaker or not. You know, you're retired, which is kids are now out of the house, families of their own. You have now attained retirement as a homemaker. Now, what do you do post-retirement?
Yeah,
and I kind of enjoyed, that's how I framed it in my mind, at least.
Yeah, I like how I've noticed recently, in general, in the past few years, how there have been a lot of articles about that you can in fact quantify the labor that is put into homemaking. And it is a lot of hours and it's in general domestic labor around the house. There's a lot of labor and effort and time and money that goes into that. And so I really appreciate that. More people now are recognizing that. And you're right. It's an entire career. And there is retirement that comes after that. And, you know, so that was really good. Also, FYI to our audience out there, the reason why Aman randomly reads lawsuit cases and all that is because he went to law school. So that's why he has that expertise.
I did go to law school.
Yeah. I don't think we've mentioned that on the show before. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And, you know, I guess in that sense, I'll give a little bit of my own perspective here. When I was reading that same story where then Marie is getting wrapped up in her work after they come back from their 2 month long honeymoon, which, man, I wish I could.
Jealous,
do that.
Jealous,
jealous, yeah. Super jealous of that. All right. Paris, Maldives, like these are all places I want to go to and can't at this point in time. But when I was reading her getting wrapped up in her work, I've never worked at a law firm, you know, as a job, because I actually know exactly what that involves. So when you said, you know, oh, she got wrapped up in her work, you know, as happens, it's like, no. It is having a lot of friends who do work full-time as lawyers. It's a lot more than that. Like,
right.
It
I wasn't trying to diminish it.
No. But I'm trying to tell people the extent of the isolation Hazel probably was feeling when they got back to life is that Marie probably got wrapped up in work days, evenings, and weekends. You know? And that is not uncommon for people in that profession. It is not a profession that is known for its work-life balance. So the level of isolation that Hazel was probably feeling was a lot more extreme, I think, than what was portrayed in this story. Which is she went into this personal crisis of like, well, what am I supposed to do with my life now?
Yeah. And to be fair, these stories were quick, short stories, and in comic form, it's even shorter than a short story. So,
yeah. But you know, I think it's up to us as the audience to, when we learn something, to extrapolate further, to take these snapshots and really delve into what does it really mean if this was happening to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. What was I gonna say? I had a thought, but then you made me forget, Aman. Thanks a lot.
I feel like this happens to you often, where I say something and tear you off of your train of thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Aman. So maybe you should keep that in mind. Okay. Anywho, I just love this story and it was really great. Everyone should check it out and read it. So it's written by this woman named T. Franklin, who is a Black woman and also identifies as gay. And there's supposed to be a volume 2, which maybe this can be a little call out to our listeners, but does anyone know when volume 2 is coming out? Because at the end of this Jackpot edition, they have a preview for volume 2 and they said it was supposed to come out last year in 2020, but we all know what a dumpster fire 2020 was. So obviously makes sense if it got delayed, but yeah, we can't find any recent articles that mentioned what's going on with volume 2. Every article is from 2018 and this book came out 2017. Ooh, by the way, we should explain how this whole project started as a Kickstarter and it got so popular, and clearly there was a lack of stories about Black queer women and audiences wanted that so badly. And that's why it kind of went viral, this Kickstarter. So then as a result, this comic book publishing company called Image Comics, they basically hired T. Franklin, who was apparently the first Black woman to work at Image Comics.
Yeah, you want to talk some bullshit about that? Like 2017 is the first time this relatively large comic book publisher hired a Black writer? Like,
yeah.
What?
Well, I don't know if it was a Black, maybe they had Black male writers, but she was the first Black female writer, which it's still embarrassing. Still embarrassing.
Bullshit.
Whatever.
Still a load of bullshit.
But yeah. So Kickstarter happened in 2016. She got hired by Image Comics. This came out in 2017. And then the volume 2 was supposed to come out 2020, but we don't know what happened to it. So
if anybody knows, please tell us.
Tweet
this kind of a comic is not actually what I would call my usual kind of reading material, but I love this story. Yeah. I really, really loved it. I want to read volume two.
Yeah. It's literally been on in general, when I've just researched like top 10, whatever kind of comic books lists, things like that. It's on every kind of list. So it's great.
I mean, it's worth it after having read it. And I'm just thinking like, why have I not heard of this? And then I think about my social circles and I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Why I've never heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Other lawyers don't have too much time to read comic books. So, I mean, that's where I was going. Where are you going with this?
Oh, I was going with the fact that you probably have like nerdy male friends who just don't know.
But yeah, and all of my friends and acquaintances who do happen to be gay are not comic book nerds. So this is a disconnect with.
It's true.
I can see how this book fell through the gaps for me.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right.
If you want to read a book about not just queer love, but also wonderful female friendship, this is the book for you. Highly recommend.
It is. Even I will highly recommend it. And normally I'm recommending Battlestar Galactica. So, you know.
Yeah. Amazing. All right. Thanks y'all for joining.
Subscribe, like us, and give us a shout out on Twitter and tell us if you know anything about when volume 2 is going to come out.
Yes, please. Bye, all. Happy Pride.
Bye.
And happy Juneteenth.